from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
Oh. And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Two words. Payday Friday. Payday Friday.
Thank God.
Couldn't have come soon enough. Couldn't have come soon enough. What's up, Evan? Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And Guru's starting to feel a little better. I don't know. I'm just assuming. He was pretty down yesterday. I know I chatted with him. But what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, first of all, happy Friday to everybody out there. Whether you're at home, I don't know. I feel like last week we learned there might be more people in the city than we think on Fridays that, you know, is remote. Are they in? It's a nice day. It's a beautiful day. And it was a beautiful event last night at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Really enjoyed the game, enjoyed the build, enjoyed all the stories. And I also enjoyed every sports piece of news surrounding it, which looks like involves the NBA, could involve the Warriors, Malik Monk signing last night, or reportedly is going to be signing once free agency hits. So I'm excited because we got a lot of news to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We do. And we can touch on that game last night over the course of the show. At 1 o'clock, we're going to have Roy Wood Jr. He was the sideline reporter last night and the former Daily Show member. Stand-up comedian, entertainer. So that's at 1 o'clock.
He's from Birmingham.
From Birmingham, correct. And looking forward to talking to him. As my guy Evan said, he's pretty funny.
He's funny as hell. Like, he is hilarious. And by the way, he did the correspondence dinner in 2023 and just took a flamethrower to everyone. It was pretty good. You can also go watch that.
Yeah, well, You said Roy Wood Jr., and I was like, huh, okay. And then I looked him up, and I was like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
Well, yeah, he's
a big boy.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, no, he is. He's pretty big. I mean, I don't think he's doing anything as large as The Daily Show right now, but that's where he kind of built himself up as one of the correspondents.
So we'll be talking to Roy Wood Jr. at 1 o'clock. But, last night's game was, I mean, it was obviously less about the game than the pomp and circumstance, but you know, my favorite player growing up was Reggie Jackson when he was playing for the Yankees in the mid '70s, and he kind of stole the show last night. I thought he was, whew,
stole the pregame.
Poignant, yes, stole the pregame. He was pretty poignant. We'll probably play some of that sound. We will play that sound today at some point. But yeah, what stuck out to you last night in that game?
It was fun. It was powerful. It was enlightening. It was entertaining. It was an event. Like, the game, again, I said this yesterday, like, the game meant relatively nothing to me, and we just talked to Bonte on the way out. The thing I enjoyed about the game is that it went a long time, so that there was more time for everybody on the broadcast to actually tell stories. You know, my favorite parts of the entire event. You know, Reggie Jackson for sure, and we can touch on why I think that was so important in a little bit when we play that sound. But I also thought Barry Bonds being there, he had a pretty funny moment pregame where they asked him about Satchel Paige, and he basically told him to take him deep. Bill Greason, who is the longest standing living member of the Negro Leagues, 99 years old, was there. Also a former Korean War veteran and someone who is pretty important also in the life of Willie Mays, who was a member, a teammate on the Birmingham Black Barons. And then I really enjoyed the conversation they had for multiple innings on the broadcast with Bob Kendrick, who's the president of the Negro League Museum in Kansas City. And I could just listen to him talk ball for eons. I mean, just listening to the stories, being able to relate it to the modern game as well, and just give us a glimpse into why players, you know, that we have heard about, that we've told tales about, play the way that they did, and really the parameters around why they had to play the way that they did. So, you know, the Negro Leagues is a part of baseball, and I felt like it was important to tune in to learn more about the history of the game, which I love, and the reason why a lot of players, Willie Mays is at the forefront of it, were so integral to the history of the game and really to our country. So,
yeah, and I hadn't realized that Bob Melvin, the Giants manager, played in that stadium 40 years ago. And he said not much had changed about it, that it still had that old feel. And it just looked like, I mean, my thought was, I read Andy Baggerly's story in The Athletic, and, you know, they kind of transformed the state around the stadium, and they created clubhouses for the players, air-conditioned clubhouses. There was food courts. It was really a celebration. And my first thought was, let's play a series there. Play a series there every year. That'd be fun. Fans of those teams, switch up the teams. Fans of those teams could get to Birmingham for a weekend, celebrate the game, celebrate the Negro Leagues, and bring more attention to the history.
Yeah, I mean, I think the next step that needs to happen is this needs to be reoccurring.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you are going to draw attention to it, if you are going to highlight it, it needs to be something that you continuously, you know, tell people about, because as we know, attention spans are short, and as great as it was to, you know, integrate the statistics and, you know, bring more eyes to the game, it can't just be a one-time thing. So hopefully they continue to, I don't know, just, again, highlight more parts about the past, which are not always great. Like, that's something that I think we do a lot with not just baseball, but with previous eras, especially in America, as we kind of romanticize and discuss only the good things that happen. And I thought that was the most powerful part about Reggie Jackson's stories that he told before the game, is that while there were some great players that came through and some great things that they did, not everything was all roses back then. No. And so I appreciate him being able to bring some reality to the situation.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So over the course of the day, we'll talk more about the game at Rickwood Field and what it meant. We got a lot of sound we're going to play from last night, but I feel like Stephen A. Smith is a big fan of our program, and yeah, vice versa. You know, he's famous for many lines, but one of the things is, it's percolating. Can you feel the NBA starting to percolate a little bit?
Well, better. Season's over, finally. Jesus.
Yeah, there's some things happening around the league. Malik Monk is going to go back to the Kings. What does that matter? Well, Malik Monk is on some level comparable to a Klay Thompson. Both were sixth men this year for a big chunk of it. Does that impact Klay Thompson? You got Gary Payton II opted in. $9.1 million. The Warriors are going to have to deal with Chris Paul and Kevon Looney next week. They got to figure out what they're doing with Looney on the 24th. They can waive him or they cannot waive him. It's the Warriors' call whether they want him on the team or not. Chris Paul, non-guaranteed next year. So he's got $30 million that's unguaranteed. So the Warriors could guarantee that if they want
Chris Paul II.
I don't want to do that today.
You will.
No, we're not going to do that.
Well, then we will.
Who did that? Loveman? Was it? Loveman doesn't do stuff like that.
AP3.
That's a Spadoni special. That's a Spadoni special. All right, so let me just start the show this way. I got I got two things about the Warriors, and then you can have at it. And the 888-957-9570.
Well, you do know we have 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
What do you mean?
I mean, you said you had two things, and then I can have at it.
Oh, yeah, then I'm out. two things, and maybe this will get the ball rolling.
You got to get till 2 o'clock is what we got to do.
Yeah, I got to get a little reaction. Not get a reaction, but I want to know. I'm going to say some things and tell me if you're on the same page or I'm smoking early in the day. I don't know. Okay, here we go. I'm driving home last night, and thinking about Klay Thompson. Yeah, what are they going to do? Is he going to test the waters? This, that, and the other thing. What's he worth? 20, 22, 18, how many years? And some people are not going to like this. But I think it's got to be legitimate. Or I think it's legitimate. So Draymond Green signed a 4-year, $100 million deal last offseason. He's got a player option for that last year. Draymond's making about $25 million. Here's my question. After everything this team's been through for 12 years, Steph, Klay, Draymond, 12 years, can you really not pay Klay Thompson as much as you're paying Draymond Green? I'm sorry. If I'm Klay Thompson, I can't take less money than Draymond Green. After everything that's happened, and how I approached my career and how he approached his career and the kind of players we were and the kind of players we are, I would have trouble taking less than Draymond Green if I'm Klay Thompson. So if I'm Klay Thompson, I'm like, here's how I'll come back. Give me 3 for $75 and give me a player option that last year. Then I'm good to go. Other than that, I think it's going to be tough for him. I really do. I don't understand how you can look at both those guys now and say, well, Draymond's going to make 20% more for the rest of his career than Klay Thompson. It just was on my mind.
Well, I think you told on yourself when you said the players they were and the players they are.
Sure.
Because the player that Klay Thompson was, you're right, there's no way in hell he's taking less than Draymond Green. In fact, he's always made significantly more than Draymond Green. But if we're talking about the players they are, well, then, yeah, I could make a case that Klay Thompson should make less than Draymond Green.
And 39% from three.
Is that your goo?
Yeah.
That was a one. Who's the better player, though? The one that talks about how Klay Thompson is going in the wrong direction.
Well, he is. So's Draymond.
Who's the better player?
I'm gonna play the argument from Draymond or from Klay's side, and the side would be, well, first of all, I'm Klay Thompson, so I'm not going to give you that Draymond's better. But even if Draymond is better, whatever he's better than me by, it's mitigated by his behavior and my behavior, and his approach and my approach. So if he's a 20% better player than me, fine. But you can't reward him after all he's done on and off the court and then penalize me for what I've done on and off the court. And
Draymond gets penalized for what he does on the court that affects how much he is off the court. Klay Thompson gets penalized for what he has done on the court, which is not been as good of a player. I mean, you've highlighted this for about a year and a half now. Like, he's not the same player.
Neither's Draymond.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question, though. Who's the better player right now?
Draymond.
Okay, so why should Klay Thompson make more than him?
Klay should make more. No, he shouldn't make more than him. He should make as much as him. Because I feel like they're the same right now, in essence. They're both falling off, and they're... Like, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Warriors should do this. I'm saying if I'm Klay and you're not going to pay me what you're paying Draymond Green, I'm out. That's all I'm saying. I could see Klay feeling that way. I also think there is something to, you know, whatever Klay's role is going to be here next year, what he... I don't think he wants to come off the bench. And
well, then how can you pay him as a starter?
I'll tell you why. No, I mean, like, I was just listening to the morning show, and I think they're kind of right. Can Clay really come off the bench if Pajemski or Moody's starting? Can you, I'm just, of course he can, but can you ask him to do that? Can you, or can you give him that choice? Hey, here are your two choices. We'll give you 2 for 40, and you're coming off the bench. That's it. Take it or leave it. That could be a scenario which I see Clay saying, I'm out.
Well, the reason why he would make as much as Draymond Green is purely emotional. Like, he's a as important part of this dynasty as Draymond Green is.
Right.
So that's why he would make as much. But if you're asking me who's the better player right now, it's Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And if Klay Thompson is going to come off the bench, then that's another reason that you couldn't pay him $25 million.
Malik Monk
got less than 20 a year.
I guess my question is, why is he coming off the bench? Are those two guys better than him?
No, because he's better coming off the bench.
Oh, that would better.
I mean, statistically, he was last year.
Well, I mean,
he scored as many, if not more, points in fewer minutes on better shooting percentages. So it would be as much for him, and that would be the, I think that's the hang-up. I think the hang-up is the role and probably the amount of years.
Well, Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area reported Clay wants 3 years. Clay wants 3 years. Okay, let's start there. Can you give him 3 years? Because again, and like I get, listen, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. I'm just kind of presenting my point of view as Clay. I would think that Clay sees it. Not that the way Clay sees it is right, or not that the way Clay sees it is what he or the Warriors should do, but just the way he sees it. And I mean, he knows that circumstances have changed, but the bottom line is he can go into the Warriors and say, are you telling me that 1 year ago you gave Draymond 4 years with a fourth-year player option, and now you're offering me less than half of that for 2 years? Like, well, Clay, you know, Monk's making 20. You're going to be coming off the bench. You're not the same player, so what do you think? 2 for 40? A year after Draymond gets 4 for 100? I think that's what Clay would mean when he's like, yeah, that's disrespect.
It very may well be. But the Warriors told on themselves last offseason. The same offseason that they paid Draymond Green $100 million is the same offseason they offered Klay Thompson 2 for 48.
Right.
So they wanted to pay him less than Draymond Green a year ago.
Maybe that was the holdup a year ago.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. He told him to kick rocks.
Right.
But what's changed in a year? Like, did Klay make up enough ground? Did he prove what he wanted to, which was he is worth more than that quote-unquote lowball offer? Because that's what, like, I'm just talking as I'm reading the room. Like, I'm reading the Warriors right now. They offered him 2 for 48. He said no, well within his right. Okay, so bet on yourself. You have a free agency year. What's changed?
Well, that's a good question.
Like, what has changed between the time the Warriors offered Klay Thompson 2 years and $48 million and now when he is, in all probability, going to be a free agent?
Well, I'm not going to answer that, but I'm going to ask the question to everybody at 888-957-9570. If you're right, the Warriors offered Clay $48 million over 2 years, that means he would, had he taken that, he'd make 24 next year and 24 the year after that. Okay? So he turns it down and he bets on himself. If you're Clay, do you think you deserve the raise? And if you're the Warriors, do you think Clay played well enough to up the offer or to lower the offer? Like, that to me is the question. Is, okay, you turned down 2 for 48 last year. Here we are in the exact same place, and you got your $43 million. So we're actually at the exact same place. Do you think Clay Thompson thinks he should? That he earned more than $24 million that they offered him last year?
I don't think he earned more, but I think he always thought that he was worth more. Like, that's why
right.
He turned the offer down in the first place,
right?
Because it was a disrespectful offer in his mind. I don't see any reason why that offer has changed if you're in the front office of the Warriors. Like, why would it go north? If anything, it's gone south. The dollars per year.
I don't know. I mean, I think
what Klay Thompson is or was hoping for is that the market would dictate that he need a higher price. And the first guy off the board at his position just signed 4 for $78 million. And the last year he's making 21.5, and that's Malik Monk.
Yeah.
So if Klay Thompson, and right now he's trying to figure out, okay, am I a starter? Where can I go start? Because I think that's what he wants. And yes, like, okay, Klay Thompson is perhaps a better player than Pajenski and Moody right now. Some people might say no, but I think he is. Okay, well, Manu Ginobili came off the bench. Like, who was the starting two guard throughout the years in San Antonio? Were they better than him? You know, like, there have been other good, like, Lou Williams might have been better than the starting two when he was coming off the bench for the Clippers and then for the Hawks. Jamal Crawford might have been better than the starting two when he came off the bench for the Clippers and for other teams. But they knew their role. And I think that's what Klay Thompson is having a hard time figuring out, is what he wants his role to be.
Let me, like, I want to be clear. I'm not saying the Warriors should pay Klay 25.
No, you're saying if you're Klay Thompson, there's no way in hell I'm taking less than Draymond.
Right. And my broader point is that if you look at it from both sides and you start thinking about what Klay would likely want, and as we get closer, what the Warriors would want out of Klay, I'm starting to think the writing is on the wall that he will not be coming back. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I'm not getting at Klay wants 25, the Warriors should pay him 25. I'm saying if I'm Klay Thompson, I could see why he doesn't want to take less than, let's say, a guy like Draymond Green. I can see why he sees that Draymond's got 3 more years under Draymond's control, so why can't I get 3 years under my control? And it's the kind of thing that after knowing about, you know, after watching Klay for 12, 13 years and knowing how he is, I think, can you reasonably say you would understand if that's his point of view? And I understand the Warriors, where they're at, and I just think it's going to be hard to come up with a number that satisfies both parties. And then you start to really think about, is this really going to be how the first guy ends up going? And it might be, but it's big. It's emotional, and it's almost less basketball important now than just, you know, what it means to the fans and what it means to the core players and what it means to the organization. I mean, we're getting close to Klay Thompson maybe not being a Warrior. And you might say, well, duh, no kidding, Steiny. Well, you know what?
I mean, anytime someone tests free agency, it's because you couldn't come to terms.
Right.
I mean, Draymond chose to become a free agent because he opted out. Klay Thompson doesn't have a choice to come back. Like, he didn't have a player option. So, and yeah, like, this is where we were always headed, I think. They said that they were far apart the entire season. You know, 2 for $48 million is the only number we have on the table so far. Money Pool's reporting Klay wants 3 years. Maybe the Warriors are saying, look, the offer's still there. Like, 2 for $48 million is still on the table, Klay. And if he says, I want 3 for $72 million, they might say, well, that third year is going to be a problem.
But it wasn't for Draymond. I mean, I'm just playing Klay's point of view.
No, I know.
And that's why I think, you know, this is one of the things that's hard to wrap your head around, because, I mean, you really want Klay to be the first of the big three to leave? And then why is he leaving? Is it more circumstance, or, you know, he doesn't want to be here?
I don't think it's because he doesn't want to be here.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's, I got to get out of this place. But Klay can be the kind of guy, you know, he's stubborn. And if he, it is about respect, and I'm sure he thinks the respect is earned through the paycheck. All right, we're going to get into this a lot today. 888-957-9570. Klay Thompson, I almost forgot, a week ago he unfollowed the Warriors on social media. Does that mean he doesn't want to be here? I don't know. I don't know what it means, but the more I think about it, the more I think, if you're Klay Thompson, are you okay with playing on a team with Draymond Green and maybe not making as much money as him? 888-957-9570. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask First NorCal Financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570.
Guru Steiny show. Let's go.
All right, Matt Stivitz along with Evan Giddings today. Guru under the weather. Hopefully we'll be back on Monday. And great night in Birmingham, Alabama last night. We're going to get into some of that later on. We've got Roy Wood Jr., a Birmingham, Alabama native. He's a stand-up comedian. You probably also know him from The Daily Show, where he was a former correspondent. And last night, he was the sideline reporter at the Rickwood Field game. He was a part of MLB Network coverage. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. And did I mention he's a stand-up comedian? And my partner, Evan, said, oh, he's hilarious.
We got to stay on our toes. One of those guys that, you know, he knows his stuff. He's a big baseball fan.
All right.
But I've never interviewed a comedian before, so I'm kind of curious. Huh. Like, have you ever talked to a comic live on air?
That's a great question.
I'm afraid I'm asked a stupid question and he's just going to...
Like this? Like Dibley? Boy, nothing gets by you.
That's an all-time Burr. Response.
No, that was a good response. One. That was a real good one. So there is news around the NBA. And the Golden State Warriors season obviously ended over a month ago. But let me just run down. Lots going on. So let me just throw some stuff at you. Paul George. There's talk about him. He's Clipper opting into his contract and then being traded.
Yeah.
So he's got one more year left. It's a player option.
He could $48.7 million.
Right. So he could opt in order to be traded because he does want an extension. So Paul George, that's his situation. Howard Beck of The Ringer is reporting that Miami's going to trade Jimmy Butler. And he's got two more years left at about $100 million with the second year a player option. So Jimmy Butler looks like he could be on the move, according to Howard Beck. This was a trade that I felt had Warrior ties. It happened yesterday. Oklahoma City. It's going to trade Josh Giddey to the Bulls for Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is a name that has been affiliated in some way with the Warriors for, it feels like, 2 or 3 years, Evan. He's a heck of a defender. He plays hard. He's smart. Former Laker. He's now going to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. And let me just... You know, I'll go through a bunch of this other. Malik Monk getting about $20 million a year. So, what'd you think of when you heard Caruso's gone to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey?
I thought it was a good move. By the way, we are going to have LaTroy Hawkins at 11 o'clock, so we'll be talking to him. He was also at Rickwood Field last night. Longtime pitcher, pitched for many teams, honestly too many to count. One of them, of course, was the San Francisco Giants, but he pitched for what seemed like 2 decades. So looking forward to chatting with him about that event last night as well. But I think what my first reaction to the Caruso trade was mutually beneficial. I mean, it was basically a player swap. Wasn't much else involved. Caruso, I think, really helps OKC. I think he makes them a little bit tougher, gives them more. Like, I think he gives them more of a veteran presence that they were looking for from, say, like Gordon Hayward when they traded for him at the deadline, and he didn't end up playing much. But Caruso's an addition there, and then I think Giddey is, you know, he's not a perfect player, but he's young, and he's a really good passer. He does everything outside of scoring, and he gives them a contingency plan if Lonzo Ball ends up being essentially damaged goods, which he appears to be right now. So, you know, I also think that Caruso is somebody that the Warriors wanted. From reports, it sounded like the hangup was that the Bulls wanted Kuminga, and the Warriors wanted to build a package around Moses Moody, and the Bulls said no. That was at the trade deadline this past year. So I also imagine the Warriors probably made calls about him this offseason. And I'm sure that the Bulls also kept asking for Kuminga. And so the Bulls essentially decided that someone like Josh Giddey would be easier for them to, you know, kind of use. And OKC was willing to move off him. So,
yeah, I look at it as I think Caruso's a nice player. Nice player. I think he'd fit on the Warriors. Okay, so Josh Giddey goes. Do the Warriors have anybody like Josh Giddey? And I would say no, they don't. And what I mean by that is they think Kuminga is better than Josh Giddey. The Warriors, or his potential, is better than Josh Giddey. So they're not gonna want to move Kuminga for Josh Giddey. By the same token, if you start throwing around Moody and Pajemski, that's not going to be enough. I mean, to me, Giddey's more valuable. He's better to me than Moody and Pajemski. So when I see Caruso going to Oklahoma City, you also realize kind of the limitations of the roster and what guys are getting paid. I wonder if there was even a deal out there for a player like Caruso that Chicago would realistically want, that the Warriors would realistically give him back. Like, I wouldn't trade Kuminga for Caruso. And if I'm the Bulls, I'm not trading Caruso for Moody or Pajemski. So, you know, obviously you can try to make it even, but I think there is some truth to the idea that the Warriors players, some of them, like, they don't hold as much value to other teams, and the ones that you value, you really don't want to move, or that they don't want. So I saw the trade of Caruso, and my first thought is, I wonder why the Warriors couldn't get Caruso. And then I'm starting to think about it. I'm like, well, I can kind of see why guys like Caruso are going to be tough to acquire, because they're not going to want your players who they don't think is as good as them, and you think your players are better than them.
I mean, I think it just highlights the lack of young players that have cemented themselves or that other teams want. Like, I think the Warriors see their young players as really good, and I think other teams see the Warriors' young players as unproven.
Yeah.
And it's hard to ask for unproven players when the other team you're dealing with feels like they hold value. It also does highlight the fact that Kuminga's the chip. Like, that is the trade asset that everyone wants from the Golden State Warriors. And I don't think the Warriors would be willing to move him unless it's for a couple of names, which you mentioned. Perhaps Paul George, if he opts in, they could use him as a trade chip. The Clippers could. Jimmy Butler is someone that, in all likelihood, will be moved this offseason. That's somebody I think the Warriors might move off of Kuminga for. But it's got to be a player of that caliber. It's got to be a former All-NBA player. I don't think that the Warriors would move Kuminga for just a nice piece, which is what I think Alex Caruso is. So when I see that move and I hear about the Warriors and who they want but who they're not willing to give up, I think there's just a little bit of a disconnect between how the Warriors see their young players and how the rest of the league does.
Yeah, and I don't think that's unusual for teams. Most teams do tend to value their own guys. Let me just, who do you want to be, the Bulls or the Warriors? Who do you want to be, Karnišević?
I'd rather be the Warriors.
Okay, so then I'm going to be the Bulls.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, we really like Kuminga. You guys interested in moving him at all?
Yeah, so I kind of like Vucevic and Caruso. Would you be willing to move both?
You stumped me right there. Yeah, let's get it done.
Well, no, but I'm saying like...
No, I know.
It sounds like the Warriors just wanted... I think. It sounded right. Like the Warriors just wanted Caruso. And the Bulls were saying, we want Kuminga back. And the Warriors probably responded with, well, if we're giving up our guy, like you got to give us more than, you know, Alex Caruso.
Well, okay, I would say this. Forget Kuminga for now. What about Wiggins? You interested in Andrew Wiggins?
If I was the Bulls, actually, I might be.
Okay. Because that's kind of what I was getting at, is, you know, could you have gotten Caruso in a trade with Wiggins? Obviously, it might have had to be a three-team trade. But you would certainly, like, is everybody in agreement they, and I know the salaries don't match, but you would take Caruso for Wiggins right now straight up?
I would.
I think you have to if you're the Warriors.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
The issue if you're Chicago is if you don't think you can move LaVine, well, then you got multiple players that have... I mean, Wiggins isn't making as much as LaVine is, but you have multiple players that are on long-term deals that one of which has not proven that they can help you even get to the postseason, being Zach LaVine.
Right.
I think they're trying to trade LaVine, and it sounds like Sacramento actually might be a team that could go get him.
It certainly seems like if you can... Yes, I think you could get LaVine. Do you want him?
Guru does. I would not want Zach LaVine.
Well, I mean, I would take him on my team if you could just drop him onto my team, but I can't give up something that I truly like for LaVine.
I would run around the studio naked.
I can't pay Zach LaVine $50 million. Like, I just can't do
that. That's kind of where I'm at with him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Austin. Austin's in San Jose. What's up, Austin? How you doing, my man?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to just say thank you to the station, man, for the last couple of days. You guys have put some great guys on the air, and also the callers on with respect to Willie have been unbelievable and moving. So I just want to give
thank you, man,
to your station.
Appreciate it.
The second thing, listen, man, I feel like, and I've been saying this for a while, I think, Evan, you nailed it, man. I think that the Warriors, and I've said this, place way too much value on our young guys as opposed to other young guys around the league. And I feel like sometimes I'm bad-mouthing our guys. But the reality is that, man, I mean, listen, Moody and these guys, I mean, people around here keep talking like these guys are going to develop into something special. And I can say I'm pretty confident after 3 years, going on 4 years in the Warriors system with 20 coaches behind Kerr, somebody's seeing something that says these guys aren't the guys. So and I do think we're placing a little bit too much value on Kuminga. I would love to know what the conversation was, Steiny, with Chicago, because I absolutely had Caruso on my – I circled Caruso and other people did. He's absolutely a piece that the Warriors could use, but he isn't the only piece. I would see Caruso and then they're moving some other people to bring in some other guys. The Warriors need to reshuffle their roster, man. I'm scared to death, Steiny and Evan, that we're going to be sitting here a month from now, and God help us if the Warriors are bringing back the same team. I mean, this whole Klay Thompson thing, we're getting bogged down on Klay Thompson. That is the least of our worries. If we bring back Klay, and here's Peyton opting in, I mean, I'm scared, man. Everybody's running around signing guys, Malik Monk. What are we going to be left with? Dunleavy better get rolling, man, because if we bring the same guys back, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, guys. So that's kind of my thoughts for today, man.
I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks for the kind words, too, Austin. I mean, look, we had a fun interview the other day with Fitz, and and he got me to thinking.
I live with these people. Right. I love these people. They're part of my family.
They're part of my family.
So, of course... I've heard Guru say it, and Fitz subscribes to it, and I do think there's a chunk of Warrior fans who believe it or who want to go down this road. And it's, if Draymond wouldn't have got suspended, we're a 50 plus win team. How much different does a 50 win team look than the one we just saw? Everything's different. So you know what? We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to make a lot of changes. You know, we maybe do bring back. I'm telling you right now, I dare you. I dare you to try to bring back the same team, thinking that you're a 53 win team with Draymond, re-signing Klay, and essentially going, you know, let's tinker around the edges with a move. Wiggins might get it going next year. Like, I dare the Warriors to do that because I don't truly believe that a lot of fans truly believe that it's a 53-win team if Draymond doesn't get suspended. Because, you know what? If Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob think that, fine. Then come back next year with essentially the same team. I dare you. You can't do that. I just don't think you can do that.
I don't think they want to do it.
Right. That's a good point.
But they might kind of be forced into doing it because I don't know how many avenues there are for them to get realistically better. Again, we just talked about the rock and the hard place they're with, you know, with trading Kuminga. They think Kuminga's a great piece. Now, I might think that Kuminga, for example, has more potential than say, Austin, but I understand all their young pieces are unproven. Like, all of them. Right. I mean, there isn't a cemented... Like, if I asked you what Kuminga's role is with the Golden State Warriors right now, would you be able to tell me, clearly?
No.
And I don't know what his role is going to be next year. I would hope that it improves and then he becomes a more focal point because that means he's also getting better as a player. But I don't know that. Next year, I think Moses Moody could be a starting two guard, even if Clay is still on the team. But I don't know that. Pajemski could be the starting two. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I have ideas of what I think these players can be next season, but there's no way to know, and that's where I think the Warriors are hesitant to move off of their younger guys because they also don't know how quickly the elder statesmen are going to fall off. Like, Steph could actually, he could have a rebound year. At age 36, he could be better than age 35. I don't know. There's also potential that he could be the guy that was after the All-Star break in which he had some trouble. I'd like to think he won't be, but I don't know that. And so I don't believe the Warriors want to stay the same. I don't think they want to keep the, quote, band together. But unless they want to take a significant step back in restructuring the roster, they might just have to bring these pieces back or some of these pieces back because there's not an alternative. Like, if I'm another team right now, let's say I'm the Miami Heat, and right. It sounds like they're going to trade Jimmy Butler, or a lot of executives believe they're going to trade Jimmy Butler. Well, can the Warriors really offer the best package for Jimmy Butler compared to the 29 other teams in the league? They might be able to offer a good one,
right?
But there are other teams that have sexier young assets that have better young players that have more draft capital to offer. So it's not as if the Warriors, I think the Warriors want to make a big move, but it takes two to tango. And I'm not sure that they have what it takes to make the kind of offer that can court and that can bring back an actual game changer.
I mean, the one thing that they do have, if they really want to, are future first round picks. And they might not be able, you know, you think of a guy like Pat Riley, who's in Miami, and the Warriors, maybe if he loves Kuminga, let's say, okay, well, we're going to need more than Kuminga, but we really like Kuminga, so here's a trade involving Jimmy. You get Jimmy, we'll take Kuminga and whatever else we agree on, and two or three first-round picks down the line. I think if I'm Pat Riley, I would be, like, in a heartbeat. Because there's two things to this. One is you're getting a good young player in Kuminga, and two is there. If I'm a rival GM, and the Warriors start throwing around the idea of first round picks in 26 or 28, I am excited about talking to the Warriors about a trade, because you're darn right that I'm looking at the Warriors as another team thinking they could be in big trouble in 3 years. They could be. Not that they will be, but that's why you trade for a future first, because you think, you know what, yeah, the Warriors are pretty good now, but what about in 2 or 3 years? The other thing Austin said that I completely agree with is the Warriors know their players better than anybody else. Every team knows their players better than everybody else. But each of those players has a value around the league that either is in line with what the Warriors think or not in line. Here's what I'm getting at. if I'm Mike Dunleavy, here's where I agree with Austin. If I'm Mike Dunleavy, and I realize through all my phone calls that Pajemski's got value, I move him. Like, I would move him then. If Dunleavy were talking to you in private and said, I got to tell you, man, Pajemski, I'm kind of surprised. Teams are asking about him, and you know they're not offering crap on the other side. And
they heard the question he asked Luka in the finals, and they really like the cerebral nature of this guy.
I mean, they not only get a guard, but they get somebody who can run their internet site, somebody who can write for their
a future media member.
Exactly. But I do agree. I do agree with Austin. Like if you find out one of your young guys has more value and it surprises you, yeah, then I would. Like, there's nobody untouchable on this roster, even Kuminga, I guess is what I'm saying. Leave Steph to the side for now. But, like, I can't consider Kuminga off limits, but I'm not trading him unless it's the right guy coming back.
Well, but you also just said you have to think about 2 or 3 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to move picks, why would you move young players? To me, they're kind of the same.
Well, my point is,
like, all of them are gambles at this point. Like, I don't know if Kuminga is going to be an all-star. I'd like to think he can be, but he's right now he's a wild card. Moses Moody's a wild card. Those first-round picks that you don't want to move are wild cards.
What I'm saying is, if Pat Riley goes, yeah, Butler's making 48 or something. I'll tell you what, Warriors are offering Kuminga, Wiggins. And Wiggins making 25. We still need another Wiggins and Payton. That would probably do it. We'll trade you Payton, Wiggins, and Kuminga for Jimmy Butler. Well, if I'm Pat Riley, I'm saying, yeah, give me a couple first rounders though down the line. Now maybe that's when the Warriors say, well, we can't do that. But that's the danger. The danger and the choice the Warriors may have to make, and maybe I'm wrong, is if you somehow have an opportunity to get a Butler or a Paul George or somebody else of that ilk.
Harden?
I can't see it, Bob.
That was a joke.
But then you got to be darn careful about moving first-round picks when your core is 35 and older. You know what I mean? Like, you have to at least anticipate the possibility that if you don't have your first round pick in 26 or 27, it may be the second pick in the draft. Or eighth, who cares? That's to me the biggest worry of the Golden State. Like, that's why I don't know what's more valuable, Jonathan Kuminga or, let's say, two first round picks down the line. Because both, if you move either, they could both come back to bite you.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Your first round pick in 5 years could be incredible. It also could be a draft like this year where you have the first overall pick and you don't want the pick because there's nobody worth taking. Like, I feel like looking 5 years, like, I don't think the Warriors are in a position to look 5 years down the line right now.
How about three?
So, to the end of Curry's deal.
Essentially.
Or Draymond's deal.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, but then I'm thinking about 3 years in. I'm not thinking about 3 years and out. Like, I'm sorry. I am considering what is left of Curry.
Okay.
No,
what happens
after Curry.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Like, you talk about what you owe legends or what you owe, you know, a future Hall of Famer. You know, Klay Thompson might think he's owed it.
Right.
I think the only guy on the roster left that you owe anything to, in my opinion, is Steph Curry.
Well, we get into the owed thing. I agree. Like, if you don't, I agree about the Klay Thompson stuff. If the Warriors don't want to pay him 25, then he's got to go. You know what I mean? Or if they don't like the number, okay, good luck in Orlando. But, you know, does that fit with what you owe Curry? Like, if you're going to play that game, like, what's Curry want with Klay? Does he want him as a teammate? Is he open to him not being on the team? We're going to get more into this down the road. On yeah,
Well, I was going to say, we're going to talk to LaTroy Hawkins next.
We are talking to LaTroy Hawkins, former major league pitcher. He was at the game last night in Birmingham. We are going to be sprinkling in a lot of stuff from that game because it was such an important day yesterday. It's been a pretty important week, quite frankly. And LaTroy Hawkins is on the other side, former major league pitcher, pitched for the San Francisco Giants. I didn't appreciate when you said LaTroy Hawkins, and I said, oh, pitch for the Twins. And you go, yeah, they pitched for every team. I remember him as a Twin. And you shamed me.
That's who he was drafted by.
Oh, exactly.
Played for 13 teams, Steiny.
Right, and you scoffed when I said, oh, you pitch for the Twins. I mean, I could have, and I was going to run down the other 12, but you wouldn't let me. what's coming up on the game is LaTroy Hawkins on the other side, and it's presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.